Amen. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? I was raised up in the country too, so I'm just saying, how y'all doing? All right. Amen. It's certainly good to be here, and I just kind of want to get my voice right. I want to sing. Can I sing a little bit this morning? Is that all right? I kind of just want to worship the Lord shackled by a heavy burden beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joy that fills my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me. And he made me whole. Oh, since I've met the blessed Savior, and since he's cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I will shout until eternity roars. Oh, he touched me. Yes, he touched me. And all the joy that fills my soul, something very grand happened, and me, and he made me. He made me whole. Not bad for a country black guy, is it? Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you, the Lord has just touched you one way or another in the past week? Amen. How many of you all have been sick in the past month, and God raised you up and healed your body? Okay, all right, not many. Praise God, that's good. It's a healing church. How many of you been to a funeral in the past year and it wasn't yours? Come on and give God some praise for that. You're still here. Amen. Certainly, we honor God for the overseers of this house, Pastor and First Lady Carla, Mike and Carla Mobley. I was going to say Pastor Carla and First Lady Mike. I meant Pastor Mike and First Lady Carla. Trust me, I'm not politically correct. I'm probably the least politically correct preacher this side of Chicago and the other side too. So, you know, I'm not. I'm so tired of being in politically correct societies. It's sickening. It's sickening. And that that agenda has infiltrated the church. It has infiltrated the church. Now, that's amazing that Washington, D.C. wants their policies to infiltrate the church, but they don't want the church's policies to infiltrate the White House. What kind of society are we living in today? Amen. But as long as I'm breathing and as long as I stay as the way that I am, I'm just not going to bow down to Baal. I'm not going to change my standard. I'm not going to change what I believe just because the next person or the next culture don't appreciate my values. Because somebody is depending on the God in me to get to know God for themselves. Did y'all know that? That somebody is watching you to see if you really serve the God that you say that you serve. Because I'm going to tell you about the Muslim God. Because how many, first of all, you know the Muslim God and the Christian God can't be equated. They cannot be related. I said they cannot be related. The reason why the Muslim God and the Christian God cannot be related, because in the Quran, the Surah chapter 112, verse 3 says, "Hear, O Allah, God is one, and He hath no children. He does not begot, neither is He begotten of any." That's the God that is called Allah. Now, the God that they call Allah does not have any children. And He cannot begot children. So the Muslim God does not begot children, and He does not have children. But now the Christian God, according to the gospel, according to St. John, says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only, that whosoever believeth in Him should not, but shall have." So now if the Christian God hath only begotten sons and the Muslim God does not begotten any, then they're not the same God. Ouch. But that's just the truth. The Christian God is loving in nature. The Muslim God judges everybody but Muslims. Am I saying right? So they cannot be the same God. So how do we maintain a relevant level of effective Christian lifestyle in an anti-Christian society? What do we do? Because now the Christians are the oppressed in what was originally founded as a sovereign Christian nation. And as I said this morning, 8 years ago, y'all's president, because he ain't mine, I didn't vote for him. I did not vote for the man. And I'm not going to vote for Hillary. Oh, excuse me. Bernie has a better chance with me than Hillary, and I'm not going to vote for Bernie. I just don't know about Trump, but I like Cruz. I like Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz. We need to pray for Dr. Carson and that he would come around and get saved again. Anyway, back into the spiritual realm of things. One of my passions and one of my ministries and one of my apostolic mandates in the body of Christ is to encourage the church everywhere. Because everywhere you go, all over this country, everywhere I go, all over this country, whether it's in country churches, whether it's in urban churches, the church, the body of Christ, is suffering. I mean, literally suffering. Our young people are suffering. Let me tell this church here something. The church of today is not like the church of yesterday. The church of today has to deal with issues that the church of yesterday didn't have to deal with. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, what you mean? You know, well, God is the same yesterday, today and forever. Yet he's the same God, but we have different situations. Am I making sense? I was told that the heroin epidemic in Hoopston, for real? Hoopston, heroin epidemic to the point to where they have to serve the anti-serum in CVS in Hoopston. Get out of here. In the county. Now, I could have seen somebody that said pills was popping in this community. I could have understood that. But when they said heroin in Hoopston, I could not believe it. I could not fathom it. But that just goes to show you how times have changed. And those situations have infiltrated the church. One way or another. You either know somebody that is on drugs. Come on now. You are either related to somebody that is on drugs. You are either someone that has had an addiction yourself, and God has brought you out. Come on now. Or you are somebody who you just was born in the 19th century and don't know anything about it. Little House on the Prairie wasn't even born yet. Okay, anyway. Okay, all right. So how do we maintain an effective level of relevant ministry dealing with situations that what the church 30 years ago did not have to deal with? The church 30 years ago didn't have to deal with the LGBT community? Ouch. And the church of today don't know how to deal with the LGBT community. Because it is a different situation. When we were born, I'm not going to give you my age because that's going to tell you exactly when I was born. A few years ago, the church was still teaching that God did not make Adam and Steve. That he made Adam and today's church is trying to find acceptance for Adam and Steve, but it is impossible for Adam and Steve to be able to cleave appropriately. Huh? We're going to leave the cleaving to Adam and Eve. Amen. The only way that the Bible said, for this cause shall a man be joined together with his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Do y'all know when the first marriage was performed? Say that again. Girl, you better get up here and take this mic and finish my message. In the garden, God said, it is not good for man to be alone, so I will make him a helpmeet. And we need our men. Can I say this much? We need our men to stand up and be real men. Huh? I said, we need our men to stand up and be real men. We need men in the church to stand up and be men in the church. I like testosterone. Wait, we need to get some weightlifting going on around. I can use a little bit myself. But, you know, listen, we need to get back to the days of the Adams family and my three sons. And have I lost a generation right there? We need to get back to the days where, you know what I'm saying, there were no identity crises. It is not fit and it's not appropriate. Thank God for the women. Thank God for the women. Every man ought to be clapping their hand. Thank God for the women. And can I tell you what these women want? They want real men to stand up and be men. And they need, and what this generation needs is other real men to show this younger generation what real manhood is all about. And we cannot expect the school system to do it. The church has to do it. I said the church has to do it. I said the church has to do it. The reason why real men follow Jesus is because he was a real man. He wasn't timid. He was meek. He wasn't weak. You didn't see no scripture where Jesus went around doing this. Or that. Or any of that. Real men followed him because real men follow real men. I said real men follow real men. And real women follow real men. And the reason why a lot of you women don't want a man right now, because you ain't got a lot of real men around you, because if you did, you'd follow them. Man, this church done come alive already, Lord Jesus. Am I making sense? We need to get back to simplicity. To the things that practically made the body of Christ great. You know what I'm saying? We have a issue. Now, I deal with a lot of urban ministry, as you can tell, you know what I mean? Y'all got it made in Houston. Because the church has changed so much and we don't know what to do. But yet and still, we're the ones that must have the answers. First Lady Carla, where you at? Where you at? Don't hurt me, because I know you're a school teacher, and I know you. Send how many teachers we have and how many educators? Okay, so don't y'all bash me for this. We need to stop depending on the school teachers in the school system to teach morality. Your moral foundation comes from the home. I said your moral foundation comes from a home. The Bible didn't say that the school system should train up a child in the way that he should go. The Bible gives us the instructions to train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when they are mature, they may act like they've strayed away from what they know to be true. They may live opposite of what they know, but they won't never say right is wrong and wrong is right if they were trained right. The reason why the communities and the societies that we lived in have dropped the ball, because they had a generation of parents that dropped the ball. I'm going to say that again, because I like the way y'all say amen. Y'all made me sound like I'm back in my church. Lord Jesus. Okay. All right. I said the reason why you have a generation of young people that have dropped the ball, because there was a generation of parents that dropped the ball. Now, when I was coming up a few days ago, because I ain't that old. Anyway, when I was coming up, my father didn't make me go to church. No, he took me to church. He didn't have to make me. I was in his house. I said he didn't have to make me. I was in his house. And he wasn't going to leave the responsibility of my spirituality to my mother. Ouch. He took me to church. And I'm going to say this much here. In his household, you might as well had went ahead and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and followed his lordship and obeyed the commandments, because if you was going to live there, you was going to act like you saved, even if you wasn't saved. So you might as well go ahead and go on to heaven anyway and get saved, right? Because in the house that I was raised in, you was going to act like you were saved, even if you was a straight devil. And you better not act like a devil when you're out the house, cause the word to get back. And you really couldn't act like a devil on the community that you lived in, because I come up in a time where everybody's parents was everybody's parent. Oh, some of y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about, right? You know you acted like the devil when you was a child, and you got in trouble from the neighbor downstairs, and you begged the neighbor down the street not to tell your mom and dad, because after you got in trouble with your neighbor down the street, and if they told your mom and dad, you got more trouble when you got home. Anybody ever experienced anything like that, or am I the only bad brat up in here? But today, the neighbor down the street don't care about the children. So they don't care about the children. And I'm going to tell you, all the older generations, don't be afraid to discipline your children. They need to have their behind spanked sometimes, because the behind spanking that you don't give them will determine the outcome of their life when they get older. I don't know why I'm going. This was not even what I intended to preach this morning, but Lord Jesus, I didn't preach this morning, but can I just have a few minutes to talk to y'all? We live in a wicked society. We have these little young children here, and we have these young people, and they are beginning to get confused. Not Hoops and First Church of God. I'm talking about People's Church of God in Christ. Okay. They're beginning to get confused because they are being taught one thing in the school system and another thing in the street and another thing at home. Another thing at home. Okay, Lord, I think I have the liberty to go here. It's wrong for the moral foundation of these school systems to try to institute a morality, to have the nerves enough to try to be the moral voice when they're the ones that took prayer out of school. Since you have taken prayer out of school, you've had more prisons built than colleges. I wish I had somebody to help me here. Since you've taken prayer out of school, you've got more young people dying on drugs than you do have having children in marriage. I'm going to tell you what I know I got some Obama supporters in here, so I got to be careful. All right, anyway, I'm going to say this much here. I gave the black church an indictment. Y'all going to like this. Some of you will, some of you won't, but that's okay. I'm a preacher. I'm not going to be here after today. Anyway, I'm going to leave it to Micah to straighten up. He can straighten it up. I gave the black church an indictment. How can you all of a sudden become the spiritual intercessors of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in 2008 when before 2008 the only thing you done was complained? But as soon as somebody of your complexion comes in, the first thing you want to do is, well, you know, the Bible said, first of all, prayer and supplication and intercession and thanksgiving should be made for all men and for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Baby, if you didn't wait to start praying for your president until you got one that looked like you, you in sin. I said, you in sin. You are in sin. And for you politicians that are in here, it's not your place to be the moral authority of the world neither. It's the church's place. I said it's the church's place. It's the church. It's our morality should come from the pulpit. It should come from the home. It should come from the family. Never should it come from a public institution like the school system or the police department or courthouses or city hall. Am I making sense here? They should be the ones to enforce morality. Like when I was coming up, the principal could paddle you. Trust me, I know. Oh, God. Jesus. Just thinking about it, give me a flashback. My goodness. When I was coming up in Sunday school, the teacher could discipline you. And there was nothing you can do about it. When I was coming up, I wish there was a time when my father disciplined me that I would have called 911. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't know none of y'all excepting when we get to heaven, because that's probably exactly where I would be. 911? What? You gonna call 911 after you just got your tail tat? Huh? You better hope that the 911 people, when they get there, don't have to call 911 when my father gets finished with them. Lord Jesus. Am I making sense here? And yet and still, we are wondering why society is the way it is and people have changed the way they have changed. Because the Bible said righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible says when righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Let me ask you something. Are you rejoicing or are you mourning right now for our nation? I remember when life was so simple. You did or you didn't. You would or you wouldn't. But it ain't like that anymore. I remember when life was so easy. People said what they meant. They were either for it or against, but it ain't like that anymore. Somewhere we've lost the core. This is what I'm asking for. Bring back the days of yay and nay, when we could plainly see the way, when it was up to us to choose whether to win or to lose. Bring back the time that we could see what it was we were to be. Caught in the midst of complexity, we search for yay and nay. Ooh yeah, I remember when life was so simple. Parents were a light. Through them you saw what was right. But it ain't like that anymore. You're gonna like this part. I remember when life was so easy. You know why? Boys grew into men, little girls to women then. But it ain't like that anymore. Somewhere we've lost the core. Bring back the days of DNA. When it was plain, we see the way. When it was up to us to choose whether to win or to lose. Bring back the times when we could see what it was we were to be. Caught in the midst of complexity, we search for yay and nay. I want them days brought back. I want the days brought back where a girl knew she was a girl and there was no question about it. I want the days brought back when a boy didn't have an identity crisis. I want the days brought back when prayer is okay. I want the days brought back where abortion is wrong. Why am I passionate about this? I'm passionate about this because God is passionate about this. But Hoopston, as long as we have people like you, we have hope. I said, as long as we have people like you, we have hope. Thank you for allowing this bald head young black preacher to come here and holler at you this morning. But I am sick and tired of seeing churches bend over because they are intimidated about what they're going to lose. You don't have to be so seeker sensitive as a church that you begin to lose your standard. Huh? And should we be more seeker sensitive or Jesus sensitive? And I want to be around the people that's seeking for Jesus. I said seeking for Jesus. I said seeking for Jesus. I said seeking for Jesus. Seeking him until you find him. Seek him until you know him. Seek him until he's changed your life. And you ain't got to worry about me, because as long as there's breath in my Bible, I'm going to keep on preaching it. I'm going to keep on teaching it. I'm going to keep on living it. I'm going to keep on raising the standard, because we need help. We need help. We need help. And if I'm wrong, I'm just going to go to heaven wrong on this. But if I'm right, I'm just going to keep preaching it, because it's needed. I said, because it's needed. So y'all don't have to worry about nothing. Y'all know there's one black man that's going to tell the truth. Not going to sell out. And I definitely ain't going to do this. No. I'm going to wait on my wife. I'm going to wait on her, because I know she out there. She may not know who she is yet, and I may not know, but she out there. And you ain't got to worry about me saying, well, Lord, I can't find no wife. So no, the devil is a lie. I'll die single before I start mingling with that other mess. Amen. I got a son. I got grandchildren. They need me. They need my example. I want my granddaughter to know what it's like to grow up as a girl. I want my grandson to know what it's like to grow up as a boy and play football and basketball, huh? And what's them things we used to play with as a child? Cowboys and Indians and, huh? $6 Million Man, remember that? Bionic Man. G.I. Joe. Huh? I don't want my grandson playing with the Barbie doll. Let my granddaughter play with the Barbie doll. I don't even want my grandson playing with Ken. Because Ken's a metrosexual. Some of y'all know what metrosexual is. Y'all know, we ain't that far out in the country where you don't know what metrosexuality is. It's that, okay, let me tell you what it is. Metrosexuality is that thing where a man said, well, I like women and I'm not attracted to men, but I like wearing effeminate clothing and I like the effeminate culture. Baby, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, if it sounds like a duck, it's a duck. Pastor Michael, well, you better take this mic, because I feel like preaching now and I ain't even started yet. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible said, when I became a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, and it's time out. And I'm going to tell you something else I can't stand about today's male society. They can't take nothing. They can't take no pain. They don't like being offended. They get offended quick. Man, when I was coming up, we didn't even know what it meant to be offended. What is that? Offended? You can't even talk to a man like you supposed to anymore. They're trying to effeminize football. The devil is a lie. And his mother-in-law. Huh? Can we still hunt? Can we still fish? Can we still fight it out as men? Can we still have our brawls and come back and love each other as brothers? We need that even in the church. But this political correct stuff got to go. It's got to go. I'm so sick and tired of political correctness. Well, you know you shouldn't have said that. And you know you're... Well, I said it. And next. To the left, to the left. Am I making sense here? You can't even talk. Men can't even... Used to be a time men could stand up and say, yeah, man, I got a problem with you, man. I got a problem with you. And we may have even fought it out. But you didn't have to worry about neither one of us killing each other. Now you got these wusses. They don't know how to talk and they don't know how to go out and be men, so they carry guns. Yeah, I got a problem with you, dude. Huh? Put that thing down first before you start talking to me. Put it down before I take it from you, fool. Because if you pull one on me, you might as well plan to shoot me. Huh? Because if you pull one on me, I'm going to feel threatened. I'm going to feel like you either trying to kill me, and if you are, I'm going to try to kill you. And one of us is going to have to repent when we get to glory. If it's not too late. Women used to be able to, and some of y'all women stay on the phone too much. Talking about nothing. Talking about the next person's child, the next person's issues. How about your issues? Huh? How about your child? Huh? If you spent as much time in prayer as you did on Facebook, Lord Jesus, the whole state of Illinois would be saved. Huh? I said the entire state of Illinois would be saved if we spent as much time on prayer, in prayer, as we did on social media. My God, the revival that would come to the nation. If we spent as much time making sure that we... I'm going to tell you what I like about my generation. My parents used to monitor what I studied in school. When's the last time you asked your child what the teachers were teaching? It's all right. You need to watch that. Because in urban city schools, I'm going to say this and I'm quit. They're taking condoms and they're teaching fifth graders how to use them. I said they're teaching fifth graders how to use condoms. What kind of mess do we have where we're teaching people who haven't even passed puberty to know how to use such an instrument? How far have we gone away from what this society was built on? Don't you know America was built on prayer? It was built on godly morals. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's donkey. Or, huh? Thou shalt not murder. Huh? Honor the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Don't y'all know that we were built up on spiritual principles and we're trying to get away from that? And that's why America is on its way to hell in a handbasket. If somebody don't stand into the gap and say, wait a minute. And the only thing that I'm doing all across the country, not just in Houston, everywhere I go, I'm the one that God is raising up to say, wait a minute. Hold them up. What happened to this? What happened to that? Where are we going in this country? It almost makes... How many of y'all have felt like, say, man, I wish I could just go to a country where everything seemed all right. You ever felt like that recently? Oh, God. Well, we got the first black president. Oh, God. Okay, y'all asked for him. Y'all got him. Okay. Huh? How's that hope and change going for you? I don't care if you're black, white, red, yellow, blue, orange, green. Stick with the Constitution. Come on, somebody. I don't care where you are. Stick with the Bible. Huh? I don't care if you're a Methodist Christian, a Baptist Christian, a Pentecostal Christian, a Church of God Anderson Christian, a Church of God Cleveland Christian, a Church of God in Christ Christian. Just stick with the Bible. And if our politicians can stick with the Constitution and our judges can stop trying to rule from the bench. Huh? And if our pastors will stick with the Bible, regardless of our denomination, don't you know our country will be great again? We won't need a Donald Trump to make America great again. America is great right now. I said it's great right now. Huh? Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies. I don't know why I feel like this today. For amber waves of grain. Oh, purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plains. I didn't say her. His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. God bless you. God bless you. I love you. Thank God for you.
Amen.